We're back with the Danger Room's 24 Days of Christmas. This year, we're doing one episode per affiliation, each with its own special guest. We made an effort this year to bring in some guests from all over the world. Sit back, listen, and Merry Christmas.
And hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Christmas episode of the Danger Room. And on today's episode with me, I have Jim, and we're going to be talking about some A-Force. So, hello, Jim.
Hey, Jacob. How's it going?
Doing pretty well. Why don't we start by having you introduce yourself? Who are you? How long have you been playing Marvel? And
I'm Jim. I'm from York in the north of the UK. I've been playing Marvel for about 18 months, and maybe the last 6 or so months I've been playing the A-Force. That's it. So I play on quite a bit on TTS in the Europe League, and then also in the North UK tournament scene. There's a few tournament most months, and try and get to as many of those as I can.
Yeah, cool. What drew you to A-Force? Why did you start playing them, and what do you like about them?
Yeah, so about 6 months ago I decided to pick a new affiliation, and I like playing slightly off meta stuff, but I still want it to be good. And at the time, the local meta and the European meta was quite attrition heavy, and the sort of extract and crisis focused approach that I was taking with other affiliations before was struggling a bit into that. So the likes of Malekith and Thanos, sort of pre their changes, were tearing me up. So I had a play with a few things and eventually settled on She-Hulk and this sort of trying to play this not attrition focused roster, but almost counter attrition roster. So trying to play as many extract orientated shenanigans as you can, but in addition to She-Hulk, to try and A, keep them alive, and B, use the leadership to power them up. And I started playing that, and I really enjoyed it. And as I mentioned before, it felt like it slid quite well into the meta I was experiencing locally and in Europe, which was quite murder heavy.
Yeah, for sure. And how building towards a specific meta and then taking it sort of out of that into like the TTS leagues, how did you find that transition? Was it similar metas because the TTS was also attrition, or did you find you had to make adjustments as you sort of changed the meta?
Yeah. So I made mostly when I was still playing in the Europe division, the overall meta I didn't feel changed too much. Obviously, it's not a huge sample size when you play sort of 20 games locally and then 6 in the league, but it was quite attrition heavy. And I made some tweaks as I found what characters I liked and what I didn't. But as I played a few tournaments, and particularly in the finals of the TTS League, where guys from other metas, it was quite a bit more diverse, and a lot of stuff I hadn't seen before playing A-Force in Europe that led me to have to dual affiliate or play a lot differently to I would have done in the sort of attrition heavy meta I was used to.
Okay, yeah, perfect. And that's I've shared similar experiences when you play in one set, it's like, oh, this is great, let's go take it to a different pool of things, and you're like, none of my answers work anymore.
it's awful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a fun puzzle, but you're like, I'm the best, and then you get knocked down like 7 pegs. It's like, I suck. So let's jump into the roster. So as you look at an A-Force roster, who are sort of your main characters that you would bring, like who has to be in the roster as you start making an A-Force roster today?
Yeah, no problem. So I think there's not many, because A-Force have got, I don't know how many they've got, 20, it feels like 20 or so characters that you can choose from. But there are a few that I would be really, really strongly considering. And those are Okoye. I think she's a really key part of the counter-attrition game plan. I see She-Hulk's got a really sweet bodyguard, but no one's around to keep her alive. And Okoye is a really, really key part of that, I think, and is quite efficient for her 2-threat value. Black Cat is the other one that I probably wouldn't leave home without. I don't think she's an every game character, especially not anymore, but she's a really key part of the 10 characters I think you can take, and I'd definitely consider bringing her along.
Okay.
And then I think within affiliation, then you don't have to take too much else specifically, but I would certainly look at taking a three threat flying option. So here's that's either Crystal, Wasp, or Storm. I prefer Crystal just because of the long move, but I think the others are great as well. And that's specifically to turn on special delivery.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an every game card, but I think it's a most games card. It's very, very good. And it's also really, really fun. And I think one of the the compelling reasons to play A-Force. And then after that, I'd be looking at maybe one of the bigger characters, the higher threat characters to go along She-Hulk if you want to start fighting back. So that would be Angela or either of the Captain Marvels, the five threat Cosmic Carol or four threat. They're pretty good. And then I also really like Spider-Woman as a she's a bit pricey at four threat, but the extract steel plus her mobility and durability are great. Outside of that, all the A-Force characters, I don't think any of them are particularly bad. A lot of people swear by Medusa. I never got on with that, but she's great. Domino's great. I think you could justify any of them as long as your game plan was there to back it up. So I think there's perhaps not one way to play A-Force. I think there's lots of ways.
Yep.
And then depending on which way you want to go is how I would go about it.
Okay. Yeah. So when you're looking at the larger characters, right? So I think Crystal Storm, you said Crystal Storm Wasp for the three threat flyer. It's sort of, you like the long move. I could see someone wanting Storm's control. These larger characters, how do you make that decision? Like between Angela and Cosmic Carol, if you had to pick one, is there a world where you bring both?
Yeah, I don't think there's a world where you bring both.
Okay.
Well, at least for me anyway. I think the games where you'd want to even to take a five threat character to go alongside She-Hulk are pretty slim. I think that's 11 threat character sort of focused on one thing, and they're good at fighting, but probably not as good as some of the other affiliations that specialize in it. So I wouldn't go too far down that tunnel for fear of just being blown out by the affiliations that excel at it more than you. So when it comes to picking between them, play Cosmic Carol these days, but I'm not sure how much of that is because of how shiny and new she is. Like, she is really fun to play. She sort of excels when you can dump power into her from the leadership, and charge special delivery is great fun. So I think I play her at the minute mostly from the fun factor. But Angela's great, and I think A-Force can play a really good pay-to-flip game on the interact secures, and Angela would be quite nice there. But I think it's just quite a lot to justify 11 threat of She-Hulk plus a 5 threat to have more than one in your 10.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so once we have our A-Force characters picked, how do we what splash characters are then you looking at? And I know you have splashed entire affiliations, so let's sort of talk about both of those things. If you're going to run just an A-Force roster, what do you think you need to bring in? And then if you want to bring in a second affiliation, what are you looking at? What would you bring in? I know you've brought in Webb, so let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I think you want to characters that are good in A-Force as splashes. I think you want to stick on the lower end of threat, or at least that's what I've found success with. Again, because of She-Hulk and her six threat price tag that she brings along. So I like three threat characters specifically for splash. And what I look for in a character to pop into A-Force is who will make good use of the leadership. So that's both in terms of using the power that you can get from the leadership, but also by sort of min-maxing how many times you get to trigger it. So durability is a good thing there. So count blanks, rerolls, anything like that. So in order to try and get a character who reliably will just take a little bit of damage every time they're attacked to increase the amount of times throughout the game that you get to trigger the leadership overall. Then some people think that the A-Force leadership can be like infinite power. In some games it does.
Okay.
It can be that. But sometimes you don't get as much as you'd think. So I think a game plan of you thinking every character will always be able to have all the power they need for something is hard. So I like characters that can do a little bit with just one or two power from the leadership, but also scale really well if you want to dump all your triggers into them, get them up to 10 power really fast and go off. So some
okay, yeah,
some good examples of that are Miles Morales. He's incredible with the leadership. He's got the rerolls, so he's on his defense, so he reliably only takes one or two damage. He gets one or two power from that and passes someone to someone else. And he can turn, you know, six power into a web sling and a spender and get a really big extract swing. Spectacular Spider-Man from the new core box. He's similar. So he can turn power into hit moving himself and displacement, as well as having rerolls and being quite durable. So they're two great examples. And that I was splashing them individually, not even thinking about webs. And then that's what led me to the Web Warrior dual affiliation.
Okay.
I've already got Black Cat and Spider-Woman in affiliation in A-Force. And then those two, you're sort of there pretty much. You just have to put the fine space for one or two webs cards and then you're in. And that is what led me to actually play the web splash is that sometimes when you play, when I left the local meta that was quite, you know, attrition focused and found some other crisis focused teams out there, that She-Hulk can sometimes be a bit of a liability because I think she struggles to leverage her full value at six threat when she's chasing around durable three threat characters. You know, she doesn't have the damage of some other six threat characters if she can't get rolling. Her dice are okay, but there's no rerolls or consistency.
Okay.
So sometimes she can struggle if she has to, you know, go and kill Sam Wilson or hunt down Ghost Spider or something like that. She's okay at it, but isn't brilliant for six threat. So then that's what led me down the Web Warrior duel for those specific circumstances. But I think you can play without it. But it can just be, you can struggle sometimes if you don't get the maximum impact out of She-Hulk herself.
Yeah, and I think it makes a lot of sense when you talk about, you know, Black Cat's already core to your list. You talk about Spider-Woman being a good thing to look at. And then you talk about who's good with power and you start naming all the web, like a lot of the good web warriors. And all of a sudden, you know, it just makes a lot of sense to do that. So that makes sense to me. So we've got characters sort of picked. We've got our framework for making our decisions. Let's go to tactics cards. What are your required tactics cards in A-Force? What do you think you got to bring?
Sure. So a lot of the affiliated cards are good. I think there's only three, but they're all good. I like Special Delivery. I think you don't have to play it, but it's really fun. And there are some game situations where it's really powerful. And the threat of using it on turn one is great. You can also set up, you don't have to use it on turn one. You can set up a good turn two, or even just taking it opportunistically and thinking, there'll be a time in this game that I can play this card and it'll be good. And then Stalwart Determination I really like as well, particularly in at the minute with Ghost Rider running around and webs being very powerful. Being immune to push and being thrown is excellent. And then the card I like the most, sort of the unaffiliated restricted card the most, is Sacrifice.
Okay.
And that's to keep She-Hulk alive when it really matters. So I think a good way to play She-Hulk is to have her protect the three-threat, two-threat characters from the little attacks that are grinding them down. With her bodyguard, but then as soon as somebody puts a horrible, nasty attack into She-Hulk, is to have one of them take it from her. So things like laser, Helios Laser or Malekith Spenders or Ghost Rider Spenders, things like that.
Right.
Is to protect She-Hulk from that. And Sacrifice is just also a great card. No matter when, you'll always find I think in a game, you could always find a good way to play that. But I like that. As well as Eyes on the Prize, because She-Hulk herself is already able to play that card in the way that gets the most use out of it for a turn one steal.
Sure.
Having the medium move, medium base. So that's a great card.
That's kind of cute with Stalwart, right? Or with a Special Delivery, where you can negate that sort of awkwardness on top of two, if that's what you choose to do, where you can stick her back in if she's run somewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can also use it on turn one sometimes,
yep,
as well as Eyes on the Prize, if someone has proc'd the leadership turn one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, reposition her quite effectively as well.
Okay, so beyond sort of the, we'll call them the core tactics cards, what else do you bring?
Yeah, so if you're going to play a dual affiliation with something, you quite often have to find a couple of slots for that. So I use yeah, when I duel with Webs, I take, I think, two of their cards. But there's also the other good one, the other sort of traditionally powerful unaffiliated cards like Fallback are great for the same reason of keeping She-Hulk alive, sort of similar thinking as Sacrifice. Patch-up's good with having a 20-threat character, 20-hit pool character running around. I've used Nomad at the Cost a few times with She-Hulk. Her, you know, her 20 health is a resource for you to use throughout the game. So I think if you end the game with her not having taken any damage, you probably could have got a lot more out of her.
Yep.
So Nomad at the Cost is a way to use her 20 hit points to for stuff. I've used Face Me before. I think that's quite good with She-Hulk. She's got, after you've used Special Delivery, she's quite limited. She has no way of not getting multiple actions in a turn outside of the two that she's given. So being able to move somebody towards her is good. And the bodyguards and the power that you get from being attacked is often a way to get an advantage from the downside of Face Me, where they get to make an attack, but if that attack goes into She-Hulk and she gets to aggressive and then you get to hand the power out afterwards, is that, that could be quite good, and you've got some agency over deciding how that gets used.
Yeah, makes sense. Face Me is a card that I'm glad people don't play more.
It's good, isn't it?
It's very good. We played it, actually. You played this into me, I think, at the very beginning of this this A-Forge journey. The entire game, it just puts so much pressure on the board. Like, I know at some point this is going to happen to me, and I'm going to hate it. So you're just, like, waiting for the person with the card to pull the trigger.
Yeah. Well, it's the exact same effect as Deception, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's arguably better, potentially, because you can't actually get around Face Me with positioning of, like, Deception, obviously, if you put yourself behind buildings. But with Face Me, you can play it regardless of who's around. So I think it's three power, which is very different, but there's a lot of different, a lot of pros and cons to, I think, the Face Me, and especially as a replacement for a restricted card, I think it's very good. And I think doubly so when you are starting to see wider lists come up. It's very easy to look at, like, a Web Warrior list, check their power, and then say, okay, I can very easily Face Me one of you in because you don't have the power to do an attack that I actually care about. Right. If your Black Cat doesn't have two power and you just reel her in, she's doing a four die builder that might make you bleed, or you can just stay out of two. Like, there's a lot of little things, that, you know, you can actually make these some high value Face Me targets as people start playing more less good attacking models. So
and that's the trouble sometimes with Face Me later in the game, is that, so as you say, people get spenders online, and you don't want one of them going off and killing you mid activation. But She-Hulk synergizes with it again that way, is because she can bodyguard it in as she plays it. So if they decide to attack someone else, She-Hulk might be able to take that attack and aggressive afterwards, as well as triggering the leadership. So it's a great card, I think, for especially as you say, for when you've got a sort of slightly inefficient six threat character into wider lists and you have to start chasing them down. She-Hulk's a great great character to play that card, and it's very good.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Okay, so we've covered sort of the big things about tactics cards. What are we thinking for crises?
Sure. So I think you can go any way with A-Force here. I initially started playing the D-Shape secures, so Riots and Cosmic Portals, and trying to use a lot of the faster A-Force characters to sort of outmaneuver people and maybe use Special Delivery on turn two or turn three to reposition somebody drastically. Reposition She-Hulk drastically to surprise people with that. And I think that's quite good. I also like, of the secures, I've these days settled on the Mutant Madmen and what's the D-shape?
Spider Portals.
Spider Portals. Yeah. So I like using, having lots of options to use the extra power that you'll get from the leadership as well as the mobility. And I've enjoyed that quite a bit. Especially, I made this change after the last balance update and noticed X-Men fall off quite a bit. I think there's quite a lot of teams that can now look at playing the those pay to flip secures without the fear of getting them into X-Men and struggling. So I like that quite a lot.
So I agree. I think a lot of the strength of X-Men on pay to flips was overblown a little bit, but outside of like I've run them with Web Warriors in the past and it's like, it's fine, right? Like it sucks in certain scenarios, but it's certainly not as bad as I think a lot of people would have thought. And I'm glad to hear someone reevaluating, especially in the context of the changes, because I think pay to flips can be such a good tool if you can handle them mentally, which is a whole different thing. But
yeah, the mental ones are quite big because a lot of people just don't like them for very subjective reasons.
Yep.
And I think nobody, if your roster is in the top third of pay to flip, you should probably play them because you'll statistically run into more rosters that are worse than you are.
Yep.
But the other thing is that because of how few people play them, is that so few people know how to play them effectively. Like things like when you're playing a pay to flip, often I think it's better to not have priority and have the last activation as opposed to the first activation.
Right.
So you can potentially flip 2 points with the last activation and get a huge scoring swing. And then that can play quite well into A-Force's play style around She-Hulk, is that you can use her huge hit pool and bodyguard to negate somebody's priority activation. Is if their plan is to activate with priority and daze or KO somebody, they might be able to stick 8 or 10 damage into She-Hulk, but that she's still going to activate. You've sort of dented their priority activation. You've got all that power in She-Hulk now to do something back, and you'll have the last activation to try and get a big scoring swing and shorten the game to the point that She-Hulk taking 8 damage doesn't matter as much. Maybe you'll only have to play one round without her.
Right, okay.
For the other half of the crises, I quite like higher threat extracts.
Okay.
Because typically when you lose priority, a lot of people will see the pay to flips and decide not to play them. And then you get something like Scrolls or Hammers or Legacy Virus, and that will allow you to pick a higher threat level should you desire, because one of the downsides of She-Hulk is her threat level.
Right.
And if you've got some particular pieces you need to counter what your opponent's bringing, you're already sort of forced into this 6-threat affiliation leader. So the more threat you've got to play with, I personally find helpful when trying to fit those counter pieces in.
Yeah, I really like that. I like that design of when people can punish your opponent, like when they look at your crisis spread, and it's not just, oh, I'm going to snap pick my secures. I've got to really look. I've got to understand what they're doing. I've got to know, you know, what do I want to avoid? There's a lot more depth, I think, than we get out of the game than most people are pulling out of the secure and extract decisions. So I like hearing that. As far as spider portals, you know, you said the mobility gains and things like that. Now, and you can use some of the power to do you can use that power efficiently. Do you play She-Hulk on spider portals, or do you switch to the Web Warrior half of the list? And if you play She-Hulk, please tell me how.
I would play the Web Warrior half against another fast scoring team. But depending, I guess it would depend on the extract to accompany it. But against a traditional attrition affiliation like Guardians or Cabal or something, if it was Spider Portals plus, I don't know, Alien Ship or Legacy Virus or something like that, or Montesi, I probably would play She-Hulk on that. And I would, it's going to suck for them. You know, Cabal and Guardians don't like, Rocket Raccoon doesn't like running between D-Shape secures and paying to flip them. So I would try and lean into that and outmaneuver them and force them to use movement actions when they really want to be attacking you.
Yeah, and I guess She-Hulk, if she's primarily focused on being a nuisance, you know, if the other 80% of your roster is running around scoring, she can score if you need her to, or she can keep those things safe. So I think there's potentially a lot of good ways to make that an even better choice into those attrition teams. So I like that quite a bit. it's not something I think you would commonly hear people suggest. And so it's cool to hear how you think about that and how you would make that work.
Yeah, awesome. But I've seen loads of other great A-Force players play, you know, the E-shaped secures, right, and lean in that way. And this roster is certainly capable of doing that. Yeah, if you lean into things like Cosmic Carol and Okoye and Black Cat, you know, along with She-Hulk, that's a great central fighting team.
Right.
But when I was doing the early testing, I thought it was good, but maybe not quite as good as the things that specialize in it a bit more. So if you play that roster into Guardians or Cabal and you're just sort of hoping that your their dice are just better than yours, so you're going to be fighting them, but they're just a little bit better at it, and hope they'll probably get you in the end. So I eventually went away from that and into the forcing them to play your game. Whereas even though you may not be quite as good as it as some of the crisis specialist teams, you can really punish some of the attrition focused teams with the skill set that She-Hulk has.
Okay. Yeah. I'm hearing a lot of flexibility in what they can do. And I think that's cool. In what I don't know that people would view as a very flexible affiliation from a six threat leader. And so, you know, we've talked about a lot of those options, but you've got all these options. What do you want out of all of this? So, I know you're playing some objective stuff. You're prepared for some meta. It's just building a lot of this list was reactive, but like, what is your perfect scenario? What's the optimal setup for this list for you and how you want to play it? What, when all the things fall into place, what does that look like?
Yeah. So the most success I had was against big attrition affiliations with a big centerpiece model like Malekith or Ghost Rider or something like that. And then trying to go one wider than that roster. So you won't have priority. Use She-Hulk to dent their priority activation with her hit pool and bodyguard. And then use your multiple activations to flip more points or control more extracts and race them to the end. So knowing that She-Hulk will probably KO before the game's ended, but by that point, hopefully you'll be far enough ahead that you can score out without her being there. So that's that was the perfect setup, which obviously never happens, but that's what I was trying to engineer with the roster.
Okay.
So She-Hulk and then lots of three threats and two threats to try and get to that slightly wider.
Okay. And that I've played in A-Force with some of those big characters and it's a nightmare. So, so we've talked about, splashing webs, we've talked about all this stuff. Is that a big learning curve, do you think, for someone wanting to pick up A-Force? And what are some other, what is the learning curve of doing this outside of just some of these choices that we've talked about?
Yeah. I think that's a great question. I think She-Hulk's positioning and her, because she's the leader and she's sixth threat and has the no-dazing Hulk mechanic. Yeah, you have to learn that very quickly. Is she can go down really fast if she gets out of position. So you need to have something like a Koye or a model to sacrifice to, like a round to stop that happening in a lot of situations. Also her hit point pool, I think I've mentioned earlier, it's almost a resource for you to use. So knowing when you can bodyguard an attack to get some power and an aggressive trigger onto She-Hulk, okay, when that's likely going to be, yep, good, and when that's probably not going to be good. So learning, quite often it's you think you should bodyguard every attack, whereas sometimes if the character being attacked, is not that important right now, maybe they're not holding an extract or they're not likely going to score that turn anyway, maybe it's okay to just let them take it. If you try and think, if my opponent spikes the bejesus out of this roll, what would I rather, that six damage went into She-Hulk or this three threat? So things like that is learning. It's very hard to do without just practicing and playing a lot, but learning when you can risk that spike and when you just can't.
I had that happen to me the other day. I was playing A-Force. I was actually playing in a timeline game and my She-Hulk had 4 damage on her. And I was like, oh, this is fine. We'll just take this Wolverine to the face. And it was 12 damage that Wolverine did. Yeah. I said, I don't like this character. So that's I agree that learning, you know, what the spike potential is and things like that of the model and what happens, it's She-Hulk is such a driving force of how to be good at this list.
Yeah. And that can, you know, if any other model in the game takes 12 damage, you know, they get dazed and at least they're safe for the rest of the round. But She-Hulk's not, you know, someone can pounce on that 12 damage and put another 8 into her. So yeah, you gotta learn to keep, she's so core. And her positioning's so important as well, because on the complete other flip side of that, there's if people can ever, you know, throw her away or outmaneuver her and leave her stranded on one side of the table, she's not the most mobile of especially when you consider other 6-7 threat characters and the tools that they have. You know, once special delivery is gone, she's sort of stuck where she is. If people aren't attacking her and she's not getting too aggressive, so she can be ignored quite effectively if your opponent knows what they're doing. So yeah, you really have to tread that line of getting her, forcing the action onto her, but not too much action that she goes down so fast, but not too little that she doesn't get the power she needs to impact the game. It can be hard.
Yeah, absolutely. So outside of She-Hulk, then, what other kind of big learning curves have you encountered, or maybe is that the one?
I think the other big learning curve is trying to encourage your opponent to proc your leadership when you know it's going to be good for you. So that can quite often be like, maybe you grab an extract and, you know, unsafely. So I don't think I mentioned Toad earlier, but I've got Toad in my roster, and he's great for this, that he can grab an extract, be slightly safe, but maybe not completely safe. Your opponent is tempted into attacking him. It will, you know, most likely not daze him, and then that triggers the leadership, and Toad gets to run away, and then you're sort of up. You've got an early bit of tempo advantage because Toad's safe, and you've got early power somewhere key that you can leverage. So it'd be, yeah, taking your other models and knowing when you can expose them to an attack to proc power somewhere else, and then using the power from the leadership to knowing when a model doesn't really need the power from the leadership versus when one power could turn something on.
Right. I think Toad fits really well with what you were saying earlier about, you know, who are these characters who are very efficient with a power or two. Toad loves one power a turn to make sure that he can always do slippery. You know, especially early in the game, you know, if somebody else gets attacked, there's a big thing. So it's always giving Toad and helping to keep him safer, even as he's, you know, potentially when he's on one power and they don't do any damage and they get a second attack, I'm always like, Toad, come on, take a damage, buddy. And then, but you know, in A-Force, you can mitigate a lot of that. And if he's on two, attacking Toad is extremely dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. And he also synergizes really well with the pay to flip plan. Yep. Because he can, yeah, as you say, get a bit more power from the A-Force leadership. So if he's got 4 power, which isn't uncommon, if he's taken a hit early and then you've funneled a bit of power to him with the leadership, he can move twice, hop, and interact twice. Which goes from, you know, being in a position of safety with an extract to activating last and flipping 2 points, which can be, you know, huge for a 2-3 character to potentially swing 4 points with the last activation is great.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so we talked about the leadership. I think the second to last question, the last non-fluff question, I'll say, that I have written down is what. And we've sort of, I think, hinted at this, but I want to make it a little explicit. What are your common, like, what does a squad look like for you? So let's talk about both the A-Force half and then, you know, when you do bring in the web half, what does that look like as well?
Yeah. So there's a few common ones. So one is She-Hulk plus Cat plus Okoye. So that's almost as cheap as it goes. That's 11 threat. Yep. And that comes with two staggers, two bodyguards, and three durable characters. So that's sort of a central fighting or the initial counter-attrition version of the roster to try and spread the damage around and crap back, and also gives you quite a bit of threat to play with to add add splash characters. The other one would be She-Hulk plus a flyer plus something like Spider-Woman or Cat and Okoye again. And that's if you really want special delivery for whatever that situation is. So that can be added on to the previous configuration, or if it's not a central fight, maybe Okoye stays at home, or if you think your opponent might not have a key sort of premium piece to stagger, then maybe Black Cat stays at home. So yeah, She-Hulk plus a flyer plus Spider-Woman is that 13 threat, and comes with special delivery plus an extract steal and an ability to turn it all on. And then the other one that I play quite a lot is She-Hulk plus 3 2 threats. Yep. And that gets you to, that's 12 threat, but is already 4 wide. So it means you can still go 5 wide at 17, or you can upgrade a 2 threat to a 3 threat if you go to 18, something like that. So that things I've done before are like She-Hulk, Widow, Okoye, and Toad, or I like Wong as well sometimes, depending on map layout. And that allows you to go as wide as possible, and that would probably come out in the pay-to-flip sort of situation where you're trying to activate last and use She-Hulk to blunt somebody's priority activation. And then the other one was the webs side. So there's only 4 webs in the roster. That's Spider-Woman, Cat, Miles, and Spectacular. So I like those 4 plus 2 2 threats to go 6 wide at 17. That's, I think, the 2 games I played in the cut of the TTS with webs was exactly that, or something like that. Trying to go 6 wide on when you win priority and get your pay to flips, so you can activate with your priority in the first round, get a nice safe extract or something, but then also activate last in the first round to try and get an early lead on secures as well as the extracts, and try and ride that points out to the end.
So yeah, I think, I mean, the width I think is very interesting, right? And so for anyone who's unaware, the 2 threats, just to make sure we hit them, I can't remember if we did or not, hit all of them. So it's obviously Okoye, Toad, and then is Black Widow the other one?
I've used Black Widow before, but I've actually replaced her with Wong recently, because I never found that I needed two A-Force 2 threats to meet affiliation, to meet the affiliated requirement. I just found there were quite a lot of games where Widow was just sat at the back doing nothing. And she's good at that, but Wong's just that little bit better.
Okay, yep.
And the healing was obviously great on She-Hulk. And in some matchups, when you're like relying on the leadership triggering to turn on a key superpower or spender that you need, if it doesn't happen, if your opponent spikes low, it can actually be quite bad for you, but you don't get what you need. And Wong's a little bit of mitigation for that, as well as turning on some really cool stuff on turn one if you want it, like She-Hulk's throw or something like that.
Right. Then as far as a little bit of a fluffy question, I'm not sure how big of a Marvel or comic person you are, but who is your most wanted character?
Yeah, so I'm not a big comic guy, but I'm a MCU and all Marvel Netflix show enjoyer. So I'd like either Jessica Jones or Lady Loki to come in. But I'd take anybody if they had a leadership.
You just need something that's not a 6 threat leader. Is that what I'm hearing?
That'd be enjoyable.
I think we've done these in the past, I think that's just been the answer every year. It's like, can we please have something that's not a 6 threat leader? AMG. So might be something there. Well, I think that's all the questions that I had prepared. Is there anything else you want to say about the list or just MCP in general?
No, nothing major. But if anyone's thinking of playing A-Force, just do it. It's really, really good fun. You can ride or die by She-Hulk, and it can be stressful, but it's always fun. She's a blast.
I I disagree, but only because I had a bad – my last game was bad. No, A-Force is very fun, and I think there are very few things in the game as fun as Cosmic Carol and Special Delivery. So I echo that. Go give it a shot.
That's a blast. That's a blast.
So if people are interested, where can you be found? Are you on the various Discords?
Yeah, I look around on some Discords. In the north of the UK – a one-day event.
Perfect. So we'll put the roster in the show notes, and then if people are curious, find track Jim down on Discord, and ask him some questions. Or I know there's a lot of people who have started taking a second look at A-Force, I think, through the timeline lens, which is a little different. But if anything that sparks love in some of these affiliations that maybe aren't as popular is great. So, yeah.
Yeah, she's the big baddie in timelines.
She's one of them. She's the only. Her and Magneto.
Her and Magneto. tearing it up.
Yeah, I love it. Well, again, Jim, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it. And listeners, that has been this episode.